Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Power of Creative Destruction, Economic Upheaval, and the Wealth of Nations by Philippe Aguillon explains why modern prosperity depends less on accumulating capital and more on continuously reinventing what economies produce and how they produce it. Drawing on the tradition of Joseph Schumpeter, Aguillon frames growth as an innovation-driven process where new firms, technologies, and business models displace older ones. The book connects frontier research and growth economics with real policy debates, showing how competition, finance, education, and institutions shape a country's ability to generate and absorb innovations. It also addresses a central tension: creative destruction can raise overall living standards while causing disruption for workers, firms, and regions tied to fading industries. Rather than treating upheaval as an unfortunate side effect, Aguillon argues it is the engine of sustained wealth, and the real question is how societies can design rules and safety nets that keep the engine running while spreading the gains more broadly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, innovation-led growth and the logic of creative destruction. Aguillon's core message is that long-run economic growth is best understood as an innovation process rather than a simple story of saving and investment. The mechanism is creative destruction. Entrepreneurs and incumbent firms introduce new products and production methods that make older ones obsolete. This constant replacement reallocates resources toward higher productivity activities, which raises incomes over time. The book contrasts this with growth narratives centered on factor accumulation, stressing that advanced economies reach a point where catching up by copying is not enough, and progress depends on pushing the technological frontier. In that environment, institutions that allow entry, experimentation, and the exit of unproductive firms become central. Creative destruction also reframes how we interpret turbulence. Firm turnover, sectoral shifts, and technological displacement are not merely shocks to manage, but signals that the economy is renewing itself. At the same time, Aguillon highlights that creative destruction is not automatic. It relies on incentives to innovate, access to finance, and competitive pressure. When any of these are weak, economies can stagnate, protecting incumbents and preserving jobs in the short run while sacrificing dynamism and future prosperity. Secondly, competition, market entry, and the incentives to innovate. A central topic is the role of competition in spurring innovation and productivity. Aguillon's work is known for emphasizing an important nuance. Competition can encourage firms near the technological frontier to innovate in order to escape rivals. Yet excessive barriers or insufficient rivalry can allow incumbents to relax and defend existing rents. The book connects this logic to policies that determine how easy it is to start a firm, scale it, and challenge established players. When entry is feasible and anti-competitive behavior is constrained, resources shift toward more capable innovators, and economies become more adaptable to new technologies. Conversely, heavy regulation captured by incumbents, restrictive licensing, or weak antitrust enforcement can slow the churn that drives creative destruction. The discussion also links competition to diffusion. Rivalry can push firms to adopt best practices faster, while open markets can expose domestic firms to global frontier technologies. The book thereby treats competition policy as growth policy, not only as a consumer welfare tool. It encourages readers to see productivity gaps and sluggish growth as outcomes shaped by market structure and institutional choices that either reward innovation or protect the status quo. Thirdly, finance, entrepreneurship, and scaling new ideas. Creative destruction requires more than good ideas. It requires financing mechanisms that can fund uncertain projects and allow successful innovators to grow rapidly. Aguillon emphasizes how financial development supports innovation by directing capital toward high-potential firms, enabling experimentation, and providing tools to manage risk. In innovation-driven sectors, returns are often skewed, many attempts fail, while a few generate outsized gains. Financial systems that are too conservative, too relationship-bound, or too biased toward collateral can underfund novel entrants and favor incumbents with existing assets. The book also explores how finance interacts with competition and corporate governance. When investors can discipline management and reallocate capital away from low-productivity firms, economies renew themselves faster. When credit is distorted by political connections or misallocation, creative destruction is blunted and resources remain trapped in unproductive uses. The topic connects naturally to entrepreneurship and ecosystems. Venture capital, equity markets, and supportive legal frameworks can help bridge the gap between invention and commercialization. By focusing on the plumbing of capitalism, Aguillon shows that innovation policy is not only about labs and patents, but also about the institutions that decide which projects get funded, which firms get to scale, and which ones are allowed to exit. Fourthly, education, skills, and social mobility in an innovative economy. Another major theme is that creative destruction changes what workers need and how societies maintain cohesion. Innovation raises demand for adaptable skills, problem solving, and the ability to learn across a lifetime. Aegon links human capital to growth not merely as years of schooling, but as a system that supports frontier innovation and rapid diffusion of new technologies. Education policy matters because it shapes who can participate in high productivity sectors and how quickly workers can move when industries decline. When skill formation is broad-based, creative destruction can coexist with social mobility, allowing new generations and displaced workers to access expanding opportunities. When education is unequal or rigid, innovation can widen gaps, concentrating gains among those positioned to exploit new technologies while leaving others behind. The book also points to training, reskilling, and active labor market policies as complements to dynamism. The idea is not to prevent disruption, but to make transitions less damaging and to keep labor markets flexible without being brutal. This topic ties the growth engine to fairness. Societies that combine innovation with accessible education and mobility-sustaining institutions can sustain political support for openness, competition, and the changes that innovation inevitably brings. Lastly, policy design, balancing dynamism with inclusive institutions. Aegon treats creative destruction as a policy challenge as much as an economic phenomenon. The key question is how to design institutions that preserve incentives to innovate while addressing the disruption that accompanies change. This includes smart regulation that supports experimentation without undermining safety and trust, as well as social insurance that helps people manage risks without freezing the economy. The book encourages a view of the welfare state as a potential complement to capitalism. By reducing the personal cost of failure and displacement, social protections can make workers and voters more willing to accept competition and restructuring. Industrial and innovation policies also appear through the lens of encouraging frontier activity rather than propping up declining incumbents. Effective policy should support research, diffusion, and entrepreneurial entry while avoiding capture and rent seeking. The international dimension matters too. Globalization can amplify creative destruction by exposing firms to competition and by expanding markets for successful innovators, but it can also concentrate adjustment costs in particular regions. Aegon's framework implies that the best response is not protectionism, but institution building, stronger mobility pathways, competitive markets, and investment in the capabilities that let people and firms adapt when the economy inevitably reshapes itself. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a rigorous but policy-relevant explanation of why some nations grow rich while others stagnate, including economists, students, business leaders, and policymakers. It is also valuable for general readers who sense that technological change is reshaping work and inequality and want a structured way to think about the trade-offs. The benefit to a reader's life is clearer economic literacy. You learn to interpret upheaval, firm turnover, and disruptive innovation, not as random chaos, but as a process that can be guided by better rules. The book helps you evaluate debates about antitrust, education, social insurance, and innovation funding by tying each to incentives and long-run prosperity. Compared to many growth or innovation books that focus either on inspirational entrepreneurship or abstract macro models, Aegon's advantage is integration. He connects frontier growth economics to concrete institutional choices, explaining why competition, finance, and skill systems must work together for creative destruction to raise living standards broadly. If you want a framework that is both analytically grounded and directly useful for judging real economic policies, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Philippe Aegon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.